Get ready for Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith.
Rebecca Blacksmith.
Take a host with a few Ivy League graduate degrees, a room full of bright CEOs, and throw in a conversation about leadership. Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith. For all leaders listening right now.
Right now, right now.
You're listening to Leaders Portfolio. I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith. We're in the midst of this year's Leaders Portfolio Awards, recognizing top businesses and business leaders with their commitment to leadership. And I want to congratulate some of the nominees of the 2012 Leaders Portfolio Awards. Cressa, Washington, D.C., Leadership Business of the Year, 51-plus employees. And Integrity Management Consulting was nominated for Leadership Business of the Year. Also, congrats to those nominees. We're here in the Leaders Portfolio Studio with the CEO of Thundercat Technology, Mr. Thomas Dierlein. Thundercat is located in Reston, Virginia. It's a systems integrator that provides strategies for data storage, networking, and applications to the federal government. And Thundercat was cited on Forbes' Top 100 America's Most Promising Companies list. And again, we are in studio, and I said that wrong, Mr. Thomas Dierlein here with us in studio. Welcome, Tom, to Leaders Portfolio.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
Now, I love this. Your name. First of all, I'll ask what Thundercat provides as a federal contractor.
We're actually a systems integrator, or what people used to classically call a VAR, evaluated reseller. And we focus on data center solutions, specifically storage, networking, and applications, including security. So our clients include everybody from Department of Homeland Security to Army Corps of Engineers, all the way through to Intel and others like IRS, Department of Agriculture, and others. So we span the spectrum of agencies.
And were you involved with launching the company?
Yes, I'm actually a co-founder.
And the other co-founder is?
There's four of us that are partners. Two of them are actually brothers. So the co-founders are Keith McMeans, Dan Dunkel, Doug Dunkel, Justin Kazemka, and myself.
And I was excited about this, so I was trying to jump the gun with my question before, but your call sign while serving in Baghdad was Thundercat 6. And so that's where the name Thundercat Technology came from, because you served as a civil affairs officer in East Baghdad.
Yeah, when we arrived in Baghdad, we decided we were all going to go with feline names. And some of the classic ones like Tiger and Lion were taken. So I turned to my team and I said, well, we got to come up with a name. And my driver, Rob Brittany, said, let's go with Thundercat. I said, oh, that sounds tough. I love it. And then I saw the logo, and I was like, oh, it's over. We're going with Thundercat. And we spray-painted, stenciled in the Thundercat logo on all our Humvees, and we rolled out as Team Thundercat the next
day.
Now,
you know what my husband said when he saw the name of your company? He said, well, I know what cartoon he likes, thinking of the Thundercats.
And it's it, because, I still have yet to see an episode start to finish. Now, even at this point, because I guess I'm 44. I'll be 45 this year, so I just missed the core target audience. So I've seen clips of it, but I wasn't a particular fan of the cartoon.
That's interesting.
But clearly, my driver was, and so it's interesting when we made the choice at the time. I just thought it sounded cool, and the logo looked cool, so that's why we went with it.
The serious decisions that
that's
you
right.
make in
Baghdad.
Very important.
What your call sign is going to be in combat.
Now, your story was you were your bachelor's was from West Point. You also have a master's of science in systems management from University of South California and an MBA from NYU. And so you were in the private sector, and then at some point you actually got called back to the military.
That's right. I was a West Point class of 89, infantry, airborne ranger. Spent time in the Berlin Brigade, actually knocked some pieces of the Berlin Wall off myself with a sledgehammer. So it was part of that history. I left the military in 1993, but I stayed in something that was called the Individual Ready Reserve. So I wasn't in a National Guard unit or reserve. I didn't drill or do 2 weeks in the summer. I was unassociated, basically, with the military, except every couple years they'd mail me back a form and say, do you mind staying on the rolls of this Individual Ready Reservist? And I said, sure. And then in October of 2005, so I've now been out of the military 12 years, there was a Western Union saying, you've got 30 days to report or a warrant will be put out for your arrest. So I called him up. I'm like, it was like an Abbott and Costello, who's on first? I'm like, I think you got the wrong guy. He's like, no. I'm like, Dearline, Delta, Echo, Indy. He's like, yes. I go, Lima, Echo, Indy. Like, I think he thought I was Forrest Gump, because this went on for about 15 minutes, me trying to convince him they made a mistake, and him insisting that I better be at Fort Bragg in 30 days.
Wow. And you, and then, you know, in September 2006, when you went back, you were shot by a sniper and critically wounded, and you had 8 months of intensive care and received the Bronze Star and Purple Heart recipient.
Yeah, so when I did go back in, I wasn't, an airborne ranger. I'm still an airborne ranger, but I wasn't kicking down doors and chasing bad guys. I was actually helping with reconstruction and helping with all the non-combatants, trying to actually keep them safe and protect them. So I was doing
so
a lot
of... So you thought you'd be really safe.
Well, we were leaving the wire 5 days a week, you know, whereas the kinetic folks might leave 2, maybe 3 days because they need a lot of downtime because those are very intense operations. We were out there coaching the newly elected government. We were trying to do economic development. We were doing reconstruction, humanitarian aid, right? Because there's 99 non-combatants for every one combatant, or you could argue 999 for every 1,000. Our folks that are just actually in a very surreal way, we're trying to get on with their lives, go to school, go to work, put food on the table, all while combat is going on around them. It's not like World War II or... you know, where there were battlefields. Like, the battle was taking place in the marketplace. The battlefield was taking place by people bombing hospitals and new schools. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were living in a combat zone. So it was a very important mission. I'm proud I did it. But, yeah, I was on a mission. Somebody had been shooting at some contractors that I hired. And we went out there to protect them and collect intelligence. And while I was standing there, I said, hey, let's get out of here. And unfortunately, I stood there a little too long. And a sniper shot me in my left hip, and it tumbled through and shattered my left pelvis, shattered the base of my spine or the sacrum, and then basically went through my right pelvis as well and shattered that. So spent about 4 months flat on my back waiting for all these bones to re-knit. I only ever had one surgery, and the rest was just waiting for my bones to re-knit so I could have enough strength to actually stand back up.
Wow. And then, so how hard was it to transition back to the kind of business world?
I would say that it was, I want to say it was fairly easy because I was anxious to go back. I thought that, okay, my nation called me. I'm going to go serve the country because I was proud to be a West Pointer. I've mentioned it 3 times already. I'm proud to be an airborne ranger, you know, and I believe a lot of my professional success was based upon the principles and the values and the training and experiences I got there. So I thought to myself, okay, you owe them another year and a half, and I'll go, and then I'll go back. So the once I'm in the hospital, of course, I'm very anxious to get back to my business. And my company, Dynamic Logic, which had been purchased by Millward Brown, they were phenomenal. They supported me while I was away. They supported me upon my return. So WPP and those folks all deserve my appreciation and appreciation of others, because not everyone gets that kind of support when they leave for a year and a half to serve their country. And I had their unwavering support in my decision to go and through my injury. And they had a nice welcome for me when I got back.
Wow, that's great. Now, you received the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year 2012 Award in the Government Services category in Greater Washington. So congratulations on that. And you've now also been able to do some other ventures, such as a foundation to assist Iraqi children. And you mentioned you just wrote a check today for that.
Thank you for the award. I mean, the award, it makes me a little uncomfortable because it's a personal award, and I really think it belongs to my partners, and it belongs to my employees, because it really, really is a team effort. I know that's totally cliche. I'm proud of it, mm-hmm. and I'm glad that we won, but I definitely think it was a team award more so than myself. In terms of the foundation, that actually it's called the Tom Dierlein Foundation. I did not come up with the name. I'm not that narcissistic. It was named while I was in the hospital recovering. But it started while I was in Baghdad. I needed a lot of humanitarian aid. I was running into bureaucracy with the Army. I was getting frustrated. Well, I started emailing friends back home, and they would email friends and email friends like a Brex commercial. And all of a sudden, school supplies and clothes and food started rolling in. So when I was in the hospital, we decided to formalize this and make it an actual
foundation.
And so we've been doing it since 2006. And to date, we've provided more than 40 life-saving surgeries for children in Iraq and Afghanistan. We've shipped more than 150,000 dollars worth of school supplies. So that's rapidly approaching 200,000 now that I've committed to shipping 6,500 school kits to Kabul over the next 6 weeks. We do a lot of vitamins. We've shipped more than 50,000 in children's vitamins and millions of dollars worth of clothes as well.
So so you have a lot of extended kids, basically.
It's interesting. I've actually had the opportunity to meet a handful, because sometimes we'll get them out west, or they may go to Pakistan for an operation, or they may go to Jordan. But a handful of the children have actually come to either Boston Shriners for burns. We've had somebody in the Ronald McDonald House less than 3 miles from my house in Long Island. So I've had the opportunity to meet a handful of the kids. Otherwise, I get some incredible videos and photos, and that's how I live vicariously through the soldiers and the others who actually provide the aid on the other side of the world.
Interesting. Now, talk about your overall leadership philosophy.
So I'll go on record, right, the debate. I do believe leadership can be learned and or taught. You know, people have to have the experience mm-hmm. or the opportunity, but I do believe everyone has leadership potential. My personal leadership philosophy is that it needs to be based on values. And from my perspective, the values that I hold most important are integrity, hard work, loyalty, and respect for others. Lately, I've been spending a lot of time with the legendary Francis Hesselbein, and so I'm also starting to realize that the leader as a servant is something that I'm starting to put more into my leadership philosophy as well. If you think about it, the President of the United States, the leader of the free world, serves his country. So the leader as servant, I think, is something I'm starting to wrap my head around as well.
Interesting. Now, when you said leaders can be taught, do you think they need to be taught at a young age, or can they be taught as a 50-year-old?
Oh, great question. Great question. I will go with, I think that you can learn it at any age. I really do believe that. So sometimes someone may have gone up through a technical career, and they may have been a great engineer or a great coder, and all of a sudden they're put in charge of a team for the first time at 50. So they may have great technical skills. They may even have great management skills, but they may not yet be a great leader. But they have the potential, right? Mm-hmm. Be no do are the principles that the Army teaches, right? Be a person that has values, know your job, be technically and tactically proficient, and do. Be willing to take decisive action and be successful. So a 50-year-old can do that as easily as a 14-year-old that's captain of his eighth grade soccer team.
Well, Tom, I want to thank you for being on Leaders Portfolio, to being in studio with us today.
I really appreciate the time.
CEO of Thundercat Technology, Tom Dearline, and I want to thank Denisco Architects, WOW Services Group, Green Tree Surgeons, Riverwalk, Hilton Garden Inn in Fairfax, Virginia. If you're a company that values leadership, consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. Now, a word from them here.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's coallarchitects.com.
Are you a business leader who practices leadership? Apply for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Have a client who emphasizes leadership? Nominate their company for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Past winners include startups, as well as a company producing $150 million a year in revenue. Tune in to Leaders Portfolio with Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, on the air and online at leadersportfolio.com. For Leaders Portfolio Awards information, visit leadersportfolio.com.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests, with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
Do you want others to know how your organization can help them? Then tell the business community why they need your business. Become a proud sponsor of Leaders Portfolio by calling 864-323-2600. By becoming a sponsor, you will be communicating directly with your target audience. Leaders Portfolio offers low-cost sponsorships for high impact, and Leaders Portfolio guarantees results. Let us tell you how by phoning 864-323-2600. That's 864-323-2600.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux-Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.